Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Om bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Read the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 5, Narada's teachings to Vasudeva, text number 32. Krishna Varanam Pisha Krishnam.
Krishna Varanam Pisha Krishnam.
Sangho Panga Strapasadam.
Sangho Panga
Strapasadam.
Yogyai Sankitan Paya.
Yanya Sankitana Paya.
Yajanti Sumedasaha.
Yajanti Sumedasya.
Krishna Varanam Pisha Krishnam.
Krishna Varanam Pisha Krishnam.
Sangha, along with associates.
Along with associates.
Upa-anga.
Upa-anga.
Servitors.
Servitors.
Astra.
Astra.
Weapons.
Weapon.
Parashadam.
Parashadam.
Confidential companions.
Confidential companions.
Jagyai.
Jagyai.
By sacrifice. Sankirtan Prayai.
Sankirtana Prayai.
Consisting chiefly of congregational chanting.
Consisting chiefly of congregational chanting.
Yajanti.
Yajanti.
They worship.
They worship.
He.
Certainly.
Sumedasaha.
Sumedasya.
Intelligent person.
Intelligent person.
In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. This same verse is quoted by Krishna Das Kaviraj in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adiyama, chapter 3, verse 52. His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada, has given the following commentary on this verse. This text is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, chapter 5, text 32. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained this verse in his commentary on the Bhagavatam known as the Krama Sandarbha, wherein he says that Lord Krishna also appears with a golden complexion. That golden Lord Krishna is Lord Chaitanya, who is worshipped by intelligent men in this age. Yajantihi Sumedasaha. That is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam by Gaura Muni, who said that although the child Krishna was blackish, he also appears in three other colours, red, white and yellow. He exhibited his white and red complexions in the Satya and Tritara ages respectively. He did not exhibit the remaining colour, yellow, gold, until he appeared as Lord Chaitanya, who is known as Gaura Hari. So, Trija Akrishna. Trija Akrishna. Srila Jitka Swami explains that Krishna Varnam means Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Krishna Varnam and Krishna Chaitanya are equivalent. The name Krishna appears with both Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Krishna. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he always engages in describing Krishna and thus enjoying transcendental bliss by chanting and remembering his name and form. Lord Krishna himself appears as Lord Chaitanya to preach the highest gospel. Varnayati means utters or describes. Lord Chaitanya always chants the holy name of Krishna and describes it also. And because he is Krishna himself, whoever meets him will automatically chant the holy name of Krishna and later describe it to others. He injects one with transcendental Krishna consciousness, which merges the chanter in transcendental bliss. In all respects, therefore, he appears before everyone as Krishna, either by personality or by sound. Simply by seeing Lord Chaitanya, one at once remembers Lord Krishna. One may therefore accept him as Vishnu Tattva. In other words, Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna himself. Krishna Varnam, Trisha Krishna. Okay. So that's in the first two paragraphs here, Prabhupada is commenting on Krishna Varnam and Trisha Krishna, which Prabhupada is saying here is Lord Chaitanya. Krishna Varnam, reciting the name of Krishna. Trisha Krishna, the non-blackish form of Krishna. And Jiva Goswami is quoted as saying, this is Lord Chaitanya. And here, Sango Pangashra Parashadam further indicates that Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna. His body is always decorated with ornaments of sandalwood and the sandalwood paste. By his super excellent beauty, he has subdued all people of the age. In other descents, the Lord sometimes used weapons to defeat the demoniac. But in this age, the Lord subdues them with his all-attractive figure as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that his beauty is his astra, or weapon. To subdue the demons. Because he is all attractive, it is to be understood that all the demigods live with him as his companions. His acts were uncommon, and his associates, wonderful. When he propagated the Sankirtan movement, he attracted many great scholars and acharyas, especially in Bengal and Orissa. Lord Chaitanya is always associated, is always accompanied by his best associates like Lord Nityananda, the Advaita, Gadadhara, and Sri Vasa. Let's just make sure my phone is properly off. Sri Jiva Swami cites a verse from the Vedic literature that says that there is no necessity of performing sacrificial demonstrations or ceremonial functions. He comments that instead of engaging in such external pompous exhibitions, all people, regardless of caste, colour or creed, can assemble together and chant Hare Krishna to worship Lord Chaitanya. Krishna Vana Krishna Krishna indicates that prominence should be given to the name Krishna. Lord Chaitanya taught Krishna consciousness and chanted the name of Krishna. Therefore, to worship Lord Chaitanya, everyone should together chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. To propagate worship in churches, temples or mosques is not possible because people have lost interest in that. But anywhere and everywhere, people can chant Hare Krishna. Thus, worshipping Lord Chaitanya, they can perform the highest activity and fulfill the highest religious purpose of satisfying the Supreme Lord. Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, a famous disciple of Lord Chaitanya, said, "The principle of transcendental devotional service having been lost, Sri Chaitanya has appeared to deliver again the process of devotion. He is so kind that he is distributing love of Krishna. Everyone should be attracted more and more to his lotus feet, as hummingbees are attracted to a lotus flower." The incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also described in the Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, which appears in chapter 189 of the Dana Dharma Bhava of Mahabharata. Srila Jiva Goswami has quoted this reference as follows: Suvarna Varno Hemango Varangas Chandanangari Chandanangari. In his early pastimes, he appears as a householder with a golden complexion. His limbs are beautiful, and his body is smeared with the pulp of sandalwood, seems like molten gold. Varangas Chandanangari. He has also quoted Sanyasi Krish Chamaha Santo Nishta Shanti Parayanaha. In his later pastimes, he accepts sannyas order, and he is equipoised and peaceful. He is the highest abode of peace and devotion, for he silences the impersonalist non-devotees. Omagyanatimirandasya Janasalakaya Chatsurumvitam Jena Tasmahe Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sattam Tena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahiram Tadati Svaparantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yakripa Tamam Bande Sri Guru Dinatayam. Okay, so very interesting. So, Krishna Manam, Trisha Krishna, indicates Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're talking about the avatar, the Yuga avatar. Krishna appears. What is it? This verse from the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which describes Yada, before that, what's the
first?
Paritranaya Sadhunam, to protect the devotees. Vinashaya Chatushkritam, to destroy the demons. I appear. So Krishna has a plan. There is a purpose and a design within everything, and the designer is Krishna, and in each of the yugas he appears. With a same mission, to protect the devotees and to destroy the demons. He appears millennium. Yuga, yuga. He appears millennium after millennium to establish religious principles. And whenever the religious principles are diminished and there's a rise of irreligion, then Krishna appears. And so Sri Chaitanya is identified here as that Yuga avatar, that avatar means one who descends. And in this Kali Yuga, a very special incarnation of the Lord appears, in that Sri Chaitanya is not different from Krishna himself. He appears. Now, it's interesting. How do we identify that this is Lord Chaitanya? So with the assistance of the previous acharyas, we're able to understand how this verse describes Lord Chaitanya. That he's always uttering the name of Krishna and glorifying the name of Krishna. And we see that in Lord Chaitanya's purpose, at least his external purpose, was to establish the Sankirtan movement, the chanting of Hare Krishna. And that's what we're doing. We effectively have joined Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. And the Sankirtan movement is manifest in this chanting process. So Lord Chaitanya, always glorifying Krishna, has appeared in this non-blackish form, the golden form. And he's identified by the fact that he appears with his devotees, effectively. Sanga, along with his associates. Upanga, his servants. Astra, his weapons. and Parashurama means confidential companions. So, you know, we have this notion, at least I had this notion before. I met the devotees of, you know, of a transcendentalist or a perfectionist, if you like, as a yogi. But, you know, my idea of a yogi was like somebody who lives in a cave in the Himalayas. That's my idea of being a yogi. I didn't really know what a yogi was, but that was the conception that I had. And you know, that one attains perfection and liberation, or, you know, the ultimate goal of life, but through meditation and through one's own efforts more than anything, right? In isolation. And you know, I had this idea that, and of course this is kind of what's promulgated out of India, that one is a yogi, and that a yogi is a person who performs asanas, right? Yoga postures, and by exercise, one will become self-realized. Of course, that's connected to also dharma, right? Meditation. So the whole purpose of and breathing exercises, breathing exercise. Of course, it's all meant to control the mind and the senses and focus one's attention within the heart, right? And to then meditate. Of course, this bit they don't emphasize as if at all, is that the focus of the meditation is the presence of Lord Vishnu, who resides within the heart of everybody. Krishna mentions, what is it? In the Ishvara Sarvabhutana Riddhesha Arjuna Tishtati, Bhagavad Gita is mentioned that Krishna says, I'm situated within the heart of everybody. So that's the yoga, that was the yoga practice that I kind of. But, you know, one of the first, not the first, but one of the first connection that I had with the devotees was one of the devotees gave me a card, right? Sunday feast invitation. And on the back of the Sunday feast invitation is the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And make your life sublime. Right? That was my first contact. And I learned to chant Hare Krishna from that card. Lord Chaitanya had entered into my life at that point, although I didn't know it. But later on, I was living with some friends in Madindi, which is right near North Adelaide, on the edge of the Parklands. A beautiful place, actually. But we were living in this house, and actually it was earmarked, it was number one, Rogue Terrace. And Rogue Terrace is a very prestigious, it's one of the most prestigious streets of Adelaide, because it's lined by these huge houses, and they all overlook the park. Right? This wasn't that good a house, because it was marked for demolition. And you know how they have those left-hand turns? It's now a left-hand turn, they knocked it down. But that's why we were living there, because it was $20 a week rent. And so anyway, one of the guys that I was sharing the house with, not he wasn't there for very long, Spear, his name was, he gave me the cover of a Bhagavad Gita magazine. Gave me the cover of a Bhagavad Gita magazine, the back cover. And it was a picture of Sadhguruji. Sadhguruji. And I like that picture. So I put it on my mantelpiece. I had a mirror on my mantelpiece and I stuck the picture on that. And so every morning when I wake up, I look at the picture of Lord Chaitanya, of Sadhguruji. And Sadhguruji is the Sadhguruji form of the Lord, is the revelation that Lord Chaitanya gave Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in Puri. And later on we went to the, I don't know if you've been to Jagannath Puri, but you can go to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, which is right next to the Jagannath Mandir, and you can go into that room and see the place where Lord Chaitanya revealed this form to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And of course, it's a combined form of Lord Rama, and so he has greenish arms. Sadhguruji means six arms, right? So Lord Ramchandra is in that greenish hue, and he's holding a bow and arrow, because he's a king, he's a kshatriya, right? And in that way, Paritra Naya Sadhana Vinasaya Chatushkritam, he performed those pastimes as Lord Ramchandra. And then there's a bluish form, or blackish bluish form, the Krishna form, who's holding a flute. Right? And of course, that's Krishna. And then there's a golden form, the arms of a golden hue, and that's Lord Chaitanya holding a water pot, kamandalu, and what is it, sannyas? Stuff, danda. So I used to look at this picture, not knowing anything about it at this stage. I just like the picture, and I can't say it was a friend, it was an acquaintance who stayed in this house, but only for a few days actually, and he gave me that picture, which later on I discovered the significance of that picture, the Sadhguruji form, because Lord Chaitanya was revealing to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, right? In manifesting the form of Lord Ramchandra, you know, Lord Ramchandra is recognized as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the exemplar of dharma, of religiosity, of a religious king. Right? So recognized as the personality of Godhead, especially in India. You know, everybody, the Prabhupada says, everybody wants Rama Raja. Everybody wants the kingdom of Rama. Because the kingdom of Rama is famous, because, you know, it's described in the Bhagavatam, you didn't have to die. Everybody was free from anxiety, and everybody was endowed with great opulence because of the piety of the citizenry. So Lord Rama is immediately identifiable as the king and the incarnation of the Lord in the form of a very saintly and pious king. So, in manifesting that form, Lord Chaitanya is demonstrating himself among the Bhattacharya that he's not different from Lord Rama. Well, and then with the bluish blackish form of Krishna holding the flute, he's also doing the same thing, effectively, revealing that he is the supreme personality of Godhead. In the form of Krishna, Krishna was also ostensibly from a Kshatriya family, because he was born in a family of Vasudeva Devaki. But of course, Krishna preferred to be a cowherd boy. So king is Lord Ramchandra as a cowherd boy by choice, by preference, in his incarnation as Krishna. But of course, Krishna also establishes himself as the king of Mathura and you know, the king of Borka, effectively. And so also, you know, in the variety of pastimes in Krishna's Leela, we see how he also manifests himself as the supreme personality of Godhead in such a variety of pastimes that you don't see in any other incarnation. This is how we identify Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead, because in his Leela, we see all of the exchanges of all of the rasas, as described by Rupa Goswami, and especially Madhurya Rasa, the highest realm of love and affection displayed by Krishna and the gopis. These pastimes we don't see in any other incarnation of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya is here revealing the Son of Bhattacharya that I'm also Krishna, and that's described here. Krishna Varanam, Tvisha Krishna, but so not blackish Krishna, and we see Krishna with all of his associates and all of his pastimes and all of his servants and confidential associates. So we see Krishna, Sambho Pangashka Parashadam, in the Krishna Leela. But in the Chaitanya Leela, we see the Lord with all of his associates, and Prabhupada mentioned this here in the purport, the demigods, just as we read in the Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, how the demigods went to the Swela Creek, you know, to the ocean of milk, and they prayed to the Lord, Vishnu, to Lord Brahma, petitioned by Bhumi, because of the preponderance of demons on the earth. They went to pray to the Lord for protection. And one of the reasons why Krishna appeared was to relieve the burden of the earth, Mother Bhumi, of the demoniac Kshatriyas. This is his purpose. So Lord Chaitanya revealed his position as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya as being non-different from Ramchandra, non-different from Krishna. And of course it made a lot of sense to me later on when I met the devotees and they explained to me who Sarvabhauma was. And of course that then made me take the, you know, in those days we would see the devotees and they'd be chanting Hare Krishna, and it was very easy to just write them off, bunch of crazy guys. I said this many times, crazy fellows. And And that's it. It's also very easy to write off the importance of chanting Hare Krishna. Right? Very easy, because it's so simple and uncomplicated. Huh? This would upset, you know, Lord Chaitanya's preaching upset the Brahmanas. Huh? Like at the moment in a part of the world not too far north west of Australia, the Brahmanas get upset, right, when the Hare Krishna movement promotes the chanting of Hare Krishna, right? Because Lord Chaitanya, this way, Lord Chaitanya, the Sankirtan movement is very special because it dismantles the whole structure of the Varnashram or the caste system. Right. Prabhupada explains the Varnashram system is present within society. And it's meant to be not a system of oppression, right, with somebody on top, you know, telling everybody else what to do according to their convenience, rather. It's meant for the benefit of everybody, just the Prabhupada explains how the arms and the legs and the torso and the head are supposed to work together cooperatively. Right? And they're all important, not that one dominates the others. Right? And so the caste system, the Brahmanas, you know, tend to dominate the others. This is why the caste system eventually became corrupted. Because yes, the head is the most important part of the body. Try doing anything without your head, right? You can do things without, you know, without arms and legs, I guess. Somewhat. You can survive without a head, you finish. Right? Also, torso is fairly important, most of it, right? I guess you can live without. You can live without parts of it. Like we have, but Lord Chaitanya and his associates and the devotees for that matter encourage everybody to chant Hare Krishna, and that's all you need to do. Even Prabhupada mentions here, what does he say? He says, Shrila Jiva Goswami cites a verse from the Vedic literature that says that there is no necessity of performing sacrificial demonstrations or ceremonial functions. Right. And so that does the Brahmanas away with their livelihood. Like Jagannath Ram was mentioning yesterday, how, you know, he gets the Brahman to come and do the ceremonies for his mother's departure, you know, so chanting Hare Krishna is sufficient, but you know, to keep people happy, you sometimes have to do this. And here it's mentioned, it's not necessary. All you need to do is chant Hare Krishna. And the Brahmins don't like that. The Brahmins got very upset. They went and complained in Chandkasi that Lord Chaitanya was engaging everybody in sankirtan, even the low class people, the high class people, the middle class people, everybody in this sankirtan yajna. And he was disturbing the whole social order of things, huh? Making spiritual practice and the benefits thereof accessible to everybody. Huh? And so, therefore, doing the Brahmanas out of a job. So they get upset. But here, of course, you know, in this day and age, who respects the Brahmanas? Nobody. What speaks in the age of Kali? What is it? Have you heard that saying? Money talks. Huh? But anyway, interesting point here. He comments, as Jeff Goswami, that instead of engaging in such external pompous exhibitions, you know, there's that story from the Prabhupada. And we see this dynamic sometimes when we have a fire jagya to celebrate an initiation. And there's a kirtan going. But the Purohit wants everybody to be quiet so that they can hear him chanting mantras. And so when Prabhupada took sannyas, it was a similar situation. But Prabhupada was encouraging the kirtan party to go around. And it's confirmed here. Of course, we perform these ceremonial functions. They have a place also. But underlying all of our ceremony, because it's interesting here, Prabhupada says, all people, regardless of caste, colour or creed, can assemble together and chant Hare Krishna to worship Lord Chaitanya. Krishna Mana Tvisha Krishna indicates that prominence should be given to the name Krishna. And interesting here, Prabhupada says, to propagate worship in churches, temples or mosques is not possible because people have lost interest in that. Right? You know, when I was a kid, very young, everybody would go to church. Everybody. There were different denominations and sometimes conflict between them. You know, I had a friend who lived next door, the Reichsmullers, Reichsmuller family, and they came from Germany. And they were Catholics. And over the road was the Young family, the Youngs, and they came from England. Right? And they were Anglicans. I guess, you know, in those days, there was still the remnants of World War II. We used to play with old gas masks. You could go buy army surplus water bottles and belts and jackets and all stuff left over from World War II. So there would have been natural animosity between the two families. They wouldn't talk. They wouldn't talk to each other. But the prime reason for not talking was that they were Catholics and we were Anglicans. We were Anglican family too, but for me, or for us coming from the Australian background, the rift between Protestant and Catholic was, at least to me, it was unknown. So they were just my friends. I couldn't work out why couldn't you guys talk to each other? So animosity existed when everybody went to church. Or most people went to church, but you know, fast forward to 2020, or fast forward even to 1990, or even 1980, then people go to church less and less and less. So Prabhupada's saying here, and Prabhupada noted that, the cathedrals and the churches, you know, they're empty. Nobody goes. So Prabhupada saw that, whereas in India, right, what's the Indian tradition? Almost, you know, to a family, everybody goes for aarti somewhere. Right. Different. Very different. India is a place of piety. The Prabhupada was preaching in the place of impiety. Right? And he wrote this. This purport was written when Srila Prabhupada was quite successful. Writing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the BBT, was established in Los Angeles, right? The devotees were painting all those pictures. And, you know, ISKCON was then established all over the world. Right? Prabhupada wrote the final, was it the final purport? I think Prabhupada wrote the final purport here in Rome. Right? Here, in this establishment here. So, you know, Prabhupada had experience preaching all over the world by this point. And so he's noting from experience that worshipping churches, temples or mosques is not possible. Very interesting. Huh? Yet Prabhupada, interestingly enough, if that's the case, why does Srila Prabhupada establish so many temples? If he says here, it's not possible to propagate worship in churches, temples or mosques because people have lost interest, why does Srila Prabhupada go to such great lengths to establish temples all over the world? Why did he do that?
What's the answer? Why did he do to get together?
Yes. Because Prabhupada knew that the chanting of Hare Krishna would be so successful. Right? So it's very interesting. He knew, and not that he knew, he was experiencing it. He was seeing how people were attracted to the chanting of Hare Krishna. Even here in Melbourne, the people were actually very responsive and favourable to the chanting. Generally in Australia, the public were quiet. The reason why the devotees became unpopular somehow, though certainly notorious, was because of their aggressive book distribution, which Prabhupada also encouraged. And it was a means for making money. It was a lucrative fundraising strategy. It's just the people in Australia, you know, kind of got sick of being asked about a Christian book every week. They already had a copy or two that they, you know, they'd already given some of their friends. And so, you know, they started getting a bit annoyed because the ladies were harassing them all the time to buy a book that they already had, or maybe even had more than one copy. But interesting, Prabhupada understood and appreciated and experienced that anywhere and everywhere people can chant Hare Krishna. Right? and you know, it's very interesting because the chanting of Hare Krishna, but most people in this day and age are impious. You know, there's just no doubt about that. They're engaging in pretty much all of the four, breaking all of the four principles of religiosity, right? Destroying the quality of mercy, destroying the quality of tapa, what is it? Austerity, control, sense control, basically. People are out of control. And destroy the quality of learning, cultivating knowledge, and destroying the quality of truthfulness. Big gambling houses where everybody's encouraged, come and have fun, or you know. You see these advertisements for betting, especially at the footy. And then at the end they say, gamble responsibly. And it's like, what? Gambling is not responsible. You might as well just hand your money over to these cheats. But they say, have a lot of fun. But who has fun being pickpocketed by somebody? I was reading an article the other day, amazing. You know, gambling is such a problem. Some people are so attached to their poker machine that they can't get up and go to the bathroom. Right? And so, you know, they do their business on the seat of the we see, very unfortunately, that people are addicted to activities that they think they're having fun, but actually is destroying their destroying themselves, their good qualities. Most people innately have good qualities. The good qualities exist in everybody, actually. It's just that they're covered. They're covered over. Just like, you know, a cloud may cover the sun. And so you can't see the sun or the sunshine. But we know the sun and the sunshine's there. And the sun, due to its potency, can evaporate the cloud so that we can see the sun. And the process of chanting Hare Krishna is like Krishna Surya Sama. Prabhupada quotes this verse on the cover of the Bhaktivinoda magazine. Krishna's like the sun, and he can dissipate the darkness of ignorance with transcendental knowledge. Right? That transcendental knowledge is like the sun, and that evaporates the clouds of ignorance. Right? So, people are engaged in activities, especially, you know, they're not beneficial. They're encouraged, yeah, come and have fun. But we know from experience and from observation and from what the Shastra tells us, most importantly, is that these activities are basically creating clouds of ignorance that cover the spiritual identity of everybody, right? And this is why the chanting of Hare Krishna is so important, because Krishna is not different from his name. And even though people are addicted to and attracted to activities that are unbeneficial, when they hear, and this is why sankirtan is so important, right? Because people are not attracted to pious activities and they're attracted instead to impious activities, and they want willingly or sometimes spontaneously, in a rare case, but very often not. By chanting Hare Krishna, we're able to inconspicuously, or conspicuously even, give people an opportunity to be exposed to the influence and the power and potency of the Maha Mantra, and gradually that cleanses the heart. Right? Pretty amazing. Very, very simple activity, not very difficult. Hare Krishna Rama. Who can't say that? It takes a little while to learn the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It takes a little while to learn that. You see, sometimes when we're having sankirtan and people come along and they jump in and start dancing with the devotees, and then they try to chant, they get it all wrong. Right? I mean, it doesn't take that long to learn how to chant Hare Krishna. But they still get benefit. We see that, they get benefit. And as I mentioned many times, you know, in the 70s and the 80s when we used to chant downtown, you'd often have guys come running up and, you know, want to have a fight. Have a fight with the Hare Krishnas. Which usually didn't work out very well for them. For some reason, these fellows, often intoxicated, think, you know, that one of them or two of them is going to take on 12 devotees or even half a dozen devotees and come off okay. Because they're thinking, you know, because we just chant Hare Krishna, we're peaceniks or something, and, you know, not very potent. We're wearing dresses anyway, I guess, so, you know. But on one occasion, I saw fellows who thought they were going to beat up the second time party. One specific occasion, I remember, they'd bring an ambulance to take the guy away. So, you know, they don't realise that, you know, the Vaishnava tradition is kind of bookended by the Ramayana, which ends in pretty much a big fight, and also the Mahabharata, which is also a big fight, right? So devotees don't mind a big fight. Much of it's a promise. And of course, you know, chanting Hare Krishna actually imbibes a mood of peacefulness, actually. Right? It's you know, there are, in many respects, the Hare Krishna movement is, there are so many contradictory elements, it's hard to work out all of these things, right? And piece it all together. But the chanting Hare Krishna is very, very subtle and sublime. It is not on the material platform, it's on the spiritual platform. And we experience it, you know, when you're chanting Hare Krishna. It's a very simple thing. It is not very complicated. But that simplicity and that lack of complexity hides its potency. Right? It hides it covers the potency of the chanting. But why would Krishna himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, come personally to spread the chanting? You know, ultimately the benefit of everyone, right? Paritranaya sadhuna, to protect the devotees. And in Asaya Chandrashvita, to destroy the demoniac. Right? And we see in the pastime of Jagai and Madai, where Lord Chaitanya was prepared to destroy Jagai and Madai for the offences they committed towards Lord Chaitanya. Haridas Thakur. Lord Nishnanda, sorry. Haridas and Vaidhichara, you know, they were propagating the chanting of Hare Krishna. And Jagai and Madhai were offensive. They were offensive and struck Lord Nityananda. Lord Chaitanya appeared and was prepared, and he had his Sudarshana Chakra ready to go. But Lord Nityananda, Adi Guru, if you like, the incarnation of Lord Balaram, the Adi Guru, stopped him. He said, No, your mission in Kali Yuga is, you know, if you had to destroy the miscreants, there wouldn't be anybody left. And you do that later on, that happens at the end of Kali when you appear as Kali. That's when everybody's finished, pretty much. But in the Kali Yuga, your mission is to destroy the demoniac, Vinashaya Chaduskrita, by chanting Hare Krishna. And here also, by his beauty, right? His weapon is his beauty, so attractive and so beautiful. And if we see that with the devotees, they're chanting Hare Krishna, and people are just naturally attracted. You know, you experience, of course, you know, we're in a very unfortunate situation with this pandemic, because, you know, one of the easiest ways, one of the quickest ways to spread this virus is to be in company of people singing, right? Which is directly opposed to the Sankirtana mission in one sense. But anyway, it's temporary, like most things. Temporary inconvenience, obstacle, right? But, you know, when you're out chanting, I've experienced this myself many times. We're chanting Hare Krishna, you come a bit Friday night kirtan, and you're kind of a bit rusty, I suppose you could say. A bit covered over. And so, I know many times I've gone out on Sankirtan, and I'm thinking, this is going to be really hard. You know, what's the point? How much of an effect are we going to have? I remember, especially once I've told this story before, but in Perth, there was me and Sita Roa and Bhakta Brahma and Ami Atma and I think Yadu. And, you know, we're all over, at that stage, over 50 at least. You know, I was 55. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, what kind of an effect are we old, grumpy old men going to have on anybody, right? And, but by the end of the night, we had a whole crowd, about 30, 20-year-olds, all engaging with it, chanting and dancing. I was thinking, just how Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada was 69, 70, effectively 70 years of age when he started the Sankirtan in New York, right? And so, you know, it's easy to be conditioned by one's external circumstances, be influenced by the material energy, right? But so often, material energy is always trying to convince us, don't do it, it's too hard, you won't have any effect, you know, what's the point anyway, you know, just trying to doubts. But Maya influences with doubts, ignorance basically, right? But, and so you start off the Sankirtan, a bit rough, you know, a bit rough and ready. But then, when you enter into the, and effectively what we're doing when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're entering into the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, right? And so anything can happen, anything, because by entering into the sound vibration of the Sankirtan party, entering into the vibe, so as Lord Chaitanya did, Krishna Vanam, Twisha Krishna, Sango Prangasva Parashadam, Yagyai, Sankirtan Praye. This is the Yagya for the age, is chanting Hare Krishna. Very simple, very simple. And it's easy just to write it off. But when you enter into the chanting Hare Krishna, you're entering into the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. This is the Yuganama. It's the Jagya. Not difficult to perform, you only have to know three words. Right? You don't have to do all of the ritualistic performances or whatever. You just have to chant. So simple. Oh, and maybe we learn Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasani Gaura Bhaktivinoda. It gets a little bit more complicated, but not much, right? Then we chant Hare Krishna. Then we see, we feel, actually, we leave the material world, effectively. Right? And all of that doubt and confusion just goes away. Many times I've experienced it, you know, you start off with many doubts, but after a few minutes, you become absorbed in the chanting, and then all of a sudden you feel like Superman. You feel invincible, because you're not part of the material realm anymore. You're part of the spiritual realm. And we see that in the mood, in the emotions and the effulgence, the aura of the Sankirtan party. That was the thing that used to attract me. I'd see this bloke, he's chanting Hare Krishna, and I could see these guys are not part of this world. Right? Very attractive. Of course, you know, the bald heads and everything else, that wasn't so attractive. But just the aura, the atmosphere, the mood, the raw emotion, the bhava of the Sankirtan party, and the ecstasy of the devotees, and the indifference to what's going on materially, you can see. And we feel it when we're part of the Sankirtan party, the Kirtan, the Sankirtan Jagya, effectively it's Jagya. We leave the material world and enter into the spiritual world. And you know, what's the symptoms? The symptoms is
everybody's happy. I think the battery just died.
So, is that right?
Yeah.
So, So Lord Chaitanya, you know, Krishna has a mission. Krishna has a purpose. The material creation is here for a purpose. You know, my mum asked me, you know, why she lost faith in, and she said, you know, if God's all good, why is there so much bad? And you know, the material world is created basically to fulfill our desires. And because our desires generally are at the expense of others, it's bad karma, and we have to get the reactions. It's our desires that cause the... From ignorance comes simple desire. And simple desires produce simple activities. Simple activities produce bad karma, reactions, and more simple desires. This is that's how the system goes, right? But and so therefore that's why the material creation is manifest to fulfill our desires to be separate from Krishna. Prabhupada says, you know, our original position is spiritual. Our original position is spiritual, not material. That's why Prabhupada says, go back, I'm back to Godhead. Right? So, Lord Chaitanya's mission in this age is to propagate the chanting of Hare Krishna so that people, initially imperceptibly, through the chanting of Hare Krishna, they're not inclined to practice or to engage in any spiritual activity. But by the mercy of the Sankirtan party, everybody is engaged in devotional, in bhakti, practice of bhakti. Just by witnessing or hearing, people become purified by that association. Sangha. And so Lord Chaitanya, you know, previously I mentioned how my idea of a yogi was a solitary figure meditating in the Himalayas, right? But then when I met the devotees, I discovered that actually the yoga system, the yoga practice of this age is best performed in the company of others, right? Which is the reason why Prabhupada established the temples, right? As you say. That's why we have temples. So the Sankirtan party can go out, the book distribution party can go out, people read the books while they hear the Sankirtan and they say, oh, what's this? This is potent. I want to know more. And so the temples are a place where we can demonstrate and encourage and support the Sankirtan mission, the Sankirtan. Even the deity worship, even the jagyas, you know, we have these things to support the prime activity, which is chanting Hare Krishna. And you know, even the temples are there, you know, Krishna has a mission. The mission is the Sankirtan movement in this day and age. And we also individually have a mission, and that mission is to participate in this Sankirtan movement. And that's not easy because, you know, we tend to have this notion that I'm going to do this myself. We get a bit egotistic sometimes. Not sometimes. Well, let's speak for myself. So the notion that, you know, we need to, in order to be successful, we have to cooperate with others. And we see that with Lord Chaitanya. Right? We see that with Lord Chaitanya. He appears, but not by himself. Right? And also, importantly, he's the prime living entity. Right? And so therefore, you know, Ishvaraha Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadi Adi Govindam Sarva Karana Karanam. He's the cause of everything, right? So has every right to be somewhat, what should we say, independent and assertive. But as Lord Chaitanya in Kali Yuga, in order to set the example, he doesn't present himself as the supreme anything, but he comes as a devotee. And as a devotee, works cooperatively with all of the others to expand the Sankirtan mission, the Sankirtan movement, the chanting Hare Krishna. Right? And we see that in the Veda Kirtan pastimes, where Lord Chaitanya is absorbed, even the Kirtan pastimes in Navadvipa. Right? Lord Chaitanya teaches by example. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can do everything, but he doesn't do it by himself. He does it with the Sankirtan party, with the devotees, to teach us how important it is to work together. And work together means working together cooperatively. You know, this is what the Sankirtan mission, one of the things that the Sankirtan mission teaches us, if we're going to be effective in our spiritual life, we have to work cooperatively together. And so the formation of the Sankirtan party, which attracts more and more people, the presence of temples, which gives us an opportunity to associate and to learn the process of Sankirtan, right? to arrange more Sankirtan parties to go out, to bring more people in. This is really our mission. Right? This is Lord Chaitanya's process. Requires cooperation. Right? Cooperation is the lubricant that keeps the ISKCON machine running smoothly. Right? It requires cooperation. And this is a symptom of Majjhimadhikari. Majjhimadhikari, Prabhupada said, we should become Majjhimadhikari very quickly in order to make progress in spiritual life. So as a minister, we think of ourselves as the best devotee and the most advanced, and everybody should listen to me. Right? But a Majjhimadhikari kind of reverses that mood. The devotee starts to think, I'm not very advanced. I have so many faults, and I can really only make spiritual advancement if I get the mercy of the devotees. They can give me advice, give me support, give me encouragement, feed me prasadam, right? All of these. Prasadam also is part of the Sankirtan mission, if you like, distributing prasadam. Another subtle way of purifying everybody. Agyata Sukriti, unknowingly, hearing the holy name, honouring prasadam, these things, powerful, powerful. But in order to do all of this, requires a lot of cooperation. A lot of cooperation. And the bigger a community gets, especially if we're all neophytes, the more complicated it gets. Right? Because everybody went, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do the other thing, right? And then it just becomes chaotic. Whereas we need some order. We need to understand the mission of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya's mission is to do Sankirtan. That means that's our mission. Our mission is to be part of the Sankirtan movement. Yajanti hears from Edithaha. Those who have a little bit of intelligence worship the Lord through this second time. Right? And that means putting out, but sometimes we have, not sometimes, a lot of times, we have to put aside our personal preferences to accommodate the needs of the community, the needs of the organisation even, in order for us to be effective. Right? We with the number of devotees that we have, we should be able to do half a dozen Sankirtan parties at least every Saturday and Sunday. We should be able to. It means sacrifice, no doubt. And it means combating the doubts. Oh, it's too hard, people will think I'm crazy. You know, I don't want my boss to see me. I don't want my friends to see me, or whatever, so many, you know. When it comes to excuses for not going out on Sankirtan, the mind is just a well of, you know, just confusion, ignorance and excuses. I'm too tired. I can't sing. I can't play any instrument or whatever. So many excuses, right? But we could, but we should not ignore the fact, we can't ignore the fact that this is our mission. Right? If we're followers of Lord Chaitanya and we don't somehow participate in the Sankirtan movement, then what kind of followers are we? What kind of followers are we? We get caught up in, you know, studying the Bhagavad Gita and reciting lots of slokas, but we don't go on Sankirtan. Or we get caught up in deity worship, or we get whatever, we can get caught up in so many things. And it's not that we shouldn't do those things, by the way. Not that we shouldn't do those things, because they all support the Sankirtan. But the prime activity, the primary activity, as is given to us by Srila Prabhupada, and is given to us by Lord Chaitanya, is to engage in the Sankirtan. Right? And if it's not physically going out and chanting Hare Krishna, then it's book distribution. You know, if you want an excuse not to go on Sankirtan, then you can say, I'm going out on book distribution. Right? So that's the alternative. There's the alternative for us. You have to go on book distribution. Because Prabhupada says this is the Brihat Mridanga. Right? So this is why Prabhupada emphasized book distribution over chanting. Because the books can are like an echo chamber, right, of the Kirtan, of the Sankirtan party. And of course the books, what do the books say? What do the books say?
Chant Hare Krishna.
Chant Hare Krishna, yes. Chant Hare Krishna. So the books are also the greater Sankirtan party. Why Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur? Well, actually, why Bhakti Vinod Thakur established the printing press? And why, you know, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would often build the printing press next to the deity room. Right? And there would be the worship of the printing press, because it was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains how the books are the manifestation of the deity in the form of the sound vibration of the Vedasar, the essence of the Vedas, right? So chanting Hare Krishna and book distribution were the prime activities that Prabhupada encouraged. And of course, the establishment of temples is secondary, but also important, because it gives that place of association and support for the weaponry, if you like. What is it? The astra. The astras are, well, here it's mentioned, the astra for Lord Chaitanya was his beauty. His beauty conquered the demons. Interesting. You know, sometimes we see the attractiveness of a person disarms. We see it with Puttana, right? She was very beautiful, very attractive. And so she disarmed the natural defences of the cowherd men and women. You know, I remember I used to work as a builder's labourer, and at the zoo, especially, and attractive woman would walk past the building site, and then all the bricklayers and the labourers, they'd all stop and look at the girls. Or they'd whistle. So beauty is powerful. The person can be just a stupid, you know, dumb person, right? But if they look beautiful, they can just disarm everybody. Isn't that interesting? And Puttana is a good example. She was beautiful and attractive, yet she came with malevolence of heart. Came to kill Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya's beauty, and even the beauty of the devotees, may not be very handsome and attractive, but in the Sankirtan party, with the effulgence of the holy name and the effulgence of transcendental Satchit Ananda is manifest fully in the Sankirtan party. You know, you can be 1 minute, you're kind of in mundane, you know, Burke Street, saying Hare Krishna, and you're thinking, what's going to happen tonight? What's going to happen? But then all of a sudden, within a split moment, you're not in Burke Street anymore, you're in Vaikuntha. And the devotees are all smiling, they're all dancing, they're all just having such a good time. And then you look around, and everybody else who's witnessing the Sankirtan party is experiencing the same thing. They're all smiling, they're all laughing, they're just attracted to the Mahamantra, to the Sankirtan. And so you're not in Berg Street anymore, neither are they. Because the devotees are situated in that, that we talk about bubbles, right? So the Sankirtan party is in the bubble. They're in the Sankirtan bubble. And those who are nearby, they're also in that bubble. Or they're at least observing it. And uplifted, exhilarated, right? They also become happy. You know, you see it sometimes. The devotees are chanting, and there's a little kid. And the kid starts dancing. And really enjoying it. And then because the child's enjoying it, then all of the adults around, they're also enjoying it as well, because they see, oh, look, the natural characteristics of the soul, which is, you know, described in the Brahma Samhita. You know, every word is a song, every step is a dance. And the Sankirtan party is like that. And everybody, unless they're a real demon, right? Hard-hearted demon, then they can't appreciate it. I mean, you don't see that very often these days. In the 70s and the 80s, we used to see people would come, they'd hear the Sankirtan party, and then they'd go, argh! You know, they close their ears, hate, and then, they run off, you know, they'd be storming and cursing and swearing and going on. That's a demon. That's a real demon. You know, sometimes we'll be going into town in the Harinam and one of the ladies would say to me, oh, look at that guy, he's a real demon. And I look at him and I think, how can you tell? Somehow, must have had a mystic potency. You know, you'd say, that guy's a real demon. But you can really see it when you go out on Harinam, because the devotees would be exhibiting natural, you know, attractiveness of Krishna consciousness would be manifest in people who are smiling and encouraging the devotees, but then you'd see occasionally those who had very severe adverse reactions to the chanting of Hare Krishna. You know, they punch you, or they attack you, worse off, or they be cursing at you. You know, you get these, especially in Geelong, you get these little old ladies looking quite, you know, like a little old lady. But then the Sanctan Party has behind them. The expletives that would come out of their mouths, whoa, she's not a little old lady, she's a monster. So anyway, this is our mission and our challenge for us. Prabhupada wanted us to be a preaching community. Right? That's what his son is all about. We're a preaching community. We can study the books, and certainly we should. We can worship the deity, and certainly we should. And, you know, we need to support and maintain our Krishna consciousness in that way. But our main purpose is here. Yagyai Sankitan Prayai. The sacrifice. The yajna, Sankirtan Prayai, consisting chiefly of congregational chanting. Yajanti, those persons, they worship he. Certainly, Sumedha Saha, those who are intelligent, the intelligent persons. And you know, sometimes even the devotees, they're bewildered by the Sankirtan. And the chanting of Hare Krishna is just too simple. It's too simple. I want something more complicated, you know. I got to learn the whole Bhagavad Gita and be able to recite that, right? But that's not, it's not bad, I'm not saying it's not, but if you're not doing sankirtan, right? The whole purpose of reciting the Bhagavad Gita is to go out on sankirtan. The whole purpose of worshipping the deity is to go out on sankirtan. The any rituals and so forth that we might engage in, especially for the deity worship, is all meant to support the chanting of Hare Krishna. As simple as it may be and as challenging as it is, because it is challenging, there's no doubt about it, but powerful, powerful, powerful. Right? Super powerful. And we should never underestimate it. And not discount, you know, not misunderstand Lord Chaitanya. Right? Lord Chaitanya appeared for this purpose. To chant Hare Krishna. We have our, you know, japa. That's our personal yoga, if you like. But that's not complete if we don't go out on sankirtan. Or if we're not somehow serving the sankirtan mission. Well, that's not, it's just not that difficult, actually. But you know, people tend to poo-poo, just these uneducated people chanting Hare Krishna, or these emotionalists, these sentimentalists, right? These sentimentalists chanting. Even Prakasananda Saraswati criticized Lord Chaitanya, you know, you should be studying the Vedanta, not just hanging out with the sentimentalists. But what people don't understand is these people are studying the Vedanta. We are studying, this is why we study the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam is the commentary of the Vedanta. But what does the Bhagavatam tell us to do? Right? We study the Vedanta. And what does the Vedanta tell us to do, or the Vedanta commentary tell us to do? Mama, what does the Vedanta commentary tell us to do? Yeah, but what else? It's on the board.
Sankirtan.
Sankirtan. Yeah, Jagyaya, Sankirtan, Prayer, primarily Sankirtan. Yajanti hi sumedhisa, the intelligent sumedhisa. You only have to have a little bit of intelligence, just a little bit. Sumedhisa. And then you know. oh, I'm supposed to go on Sankirtan. And then, when we go on Sankirtan, then we just get, we experience the spiritual world. We experience prema bhakti most readily through Sankirtan.
Okay,
I will finish at this point, having gone way over time. But, any comments? Realizations?
Looks like Sankirtan has dual purpose. Two purposes.
Mm-hmm.
One is our self chanting.
Yes.
The second is inspiring others to chant.
Yes. Self purification and planetary purification. Yes, that's the power. Right? So it's not selfish self-liberation. Right? It's liberation for others, and then in the process you're also liberated. Right? And in fact, when you keep it just to yourself, then it doesn't work. That's the interesting thing, we think, by my sadhana or whatever, I'll become advanced. Right? But often what happens is you just become puffed up. Right? You think, I know so many slogans from the Bhagavad Gita. Right? But if you knew the slogans of the Bhagavad Gita, you'd be giving them to everybody, not just keeping it for yourself. And in fact, the advantage of doing Sankirtan is you come up against all of the challenges. Right? And in order to be effective, you have to be very humble, very tolerant. You realize I'm not such a great devotee when you're up against the wall of ignorance that exists between us and them. And we see that there's this tendency occasionally to become a little proud of our learning, of our advice. Actually, that's a kanishtha. Whereas imagine he wants to go out and attract others. He's looking for the innocent. Avoids the demons, but looking for the innocent. Right? And they're a challenge. It's easier just to live with the devotees and, enhance your own Krishna consciousness in that way. Although that's not always easy, by the way. But more difficult, more challenging is to give to others who are maybe attracted, but clouds of ignorance, float around in their heads. And so then when you preach, they don't get it. Right? We were talking about this on Saturday night. We're doing an Upanishad class online. Looking at the verse in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says there are some who look on the soul as amazing. Right? There are some who speak of the soul as amazing. Right? The devotees are us, hopefully. There are those who hear of the soul as amazing. They're the people we're looking for. Right? They're the people. And inquisitive, properly inquisitive. That's what we're looking for. They're innocent. And then there are those who hear of the soul but can't understand at all. Like the demons, pretty much. The demons, they can't understand. Life is just a hara nidra bhaya vaikino ja, right? Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. No. And there's a lot of people out there like that. But then, if we're very fortunate and we're very dedicated to the Sankirtan, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, empowers us to connect with everybody. Right? And sometimes we're out preaching and, we don't even know how what is happening is happening. Right? It's not by our potency. We realize, this is what you realize. This is the beauty of Sankirtan, beauty of book distribution. You go out on book distribution, and some days, you know, everybody you can stop, they all take a book. Have you experienced this?
Yes.
Then the next day you go out and think, this should be a piece of cake. Right? And then you have the horriblest day that you've ever had in your life. Right? Nobody talks to you, they all spit at you, they tell you to go get a job. Or whatever, I don't know what they say these days. Right? They just ignore you, right? And so you feel like dirt, right? You feel like dirt. And then, at the end of the day, you meet just one person, and you know, they buy 10 books off of you, and they want to know more about Krishna. And then you realize, I'm not doing this. You know, I'm not the doer. It's a great leveler. Sankirtan is a great leveler because you realize that I'm not anything. No? You get deep realizations of what a dog you are. except you guys obviously not dogs, so you may have some other realization.
Krishna's
dog.
Krishna's dog.
Ruff, ruff. Yeah, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that, you know. I am the dog, and this is your family, Krishna. This is your house, and I'm your dog, and I'm going to protect your house. And this is the job of the manager, actually, you know, sometimes in the GBC. In discussions, you know, the devotees will discuss how we're watchdogs. We have to keep an eye out. If anything's coming in to disturb the peaceful, pursuit of Krishna consciousness, we have to kick it out. Right? Kick it out. But this is the view, you know, we can study the books and learn slogans and get puffed up with our learning. Whereas learning really is humility. And this is why Sankirtan is such a blessing, because you go out and then Krishna teaches you within about 60 seconds, you know, that you're not so advanced. If we were to follow Lord Chaitanya's order, and you know, it's interesting. Lord Chaitanya told Lord Nityananda and later Jarin Haridas Thakur, you know, he even told them they were coming every year to visit him, right? Pilgrimage, right? They would come to Jagannath Puri. And then one year, Lord Chaitanya took Lord Nityananda aside and he said to them, look, next year I don't want you to come. I want you to stay and preach, right? Now, why did he do that? Why did he do that? Why did you do that?
You wanted to spread Krishna consciousness. You wanted to spread Krishna consciousness.
Yes. And also because, you see, our philosophy is also Bhuka Namba Seva, that separation is better than association. Lord Chaitanya would know that all of those devotees wanted to be with him. Right? But in separation, they're with him, and also preaching. And so the Krishna consciousness is being enhanced, not. Right? So, you know, it's very interesting. Our philosophy supports giving Krishna to others. Why does Srila Prabhupada leave Vrindavan? Why would you leave Vrindavan? Mama, why did Prabhupada leave Vrindavan? He's with Krishna. What are you doing for? For us. Prabhupada came for us. That's Lord Chaitanya's, you know, why did Lord Chaitanya come? Why does Krishna bother coming into the material world in the first place? It's for us. So this is the real, you know, this is the proper understanding of Shastra. If you're reading the Shastra, then you know, hang on, this is not all about me, it's about everybody else. Of course, you know, we've got to save ourselves, obviously. But ultimately, if we're advanced, like Srila Prabhupada, then and we know what the second time mission is, so that Lord Chaitanya's mission, your Janti needs to make his heart, will worship him by the performance of Sankirtan. Huh? So yes, dual purpose. Liberate yourself, sure. But like Prabhupada said, you know, I don't know who he said it to, but to the senior members, to the GBC, not one of you alone, but all of you together. Right? And so, you know, the Sankirtan mission is to get everybody back home, back to Godhead, not just ourselves. And that's key, critical to yourself coming back. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay? Huh? Rinkeshwari? Any comments? Question? Comment? Sankirtan Yogi Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Actually, the third book was from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Interestingly enough, could have given us the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But anyway. Shabhavad Ki Jai. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Vedika Dhanhara Sivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.